It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What did you say? Or when's the last time this team, any of these teams, played a good game? Like, they have done this to us. They have made you. They made you're like Frankenstein. You just keep coming with this. You know what I wanted more out of this year than anything else? Was to not listen to you talk about the value of finishing freaking last again. I never wanted to sit in this room and have that conversation with you again. Because I recognize that you're right philosophically about it, but I want to kick philosophically in the nuts. I hate this conversation. It makes me crazy. That's where I am. My God, make a save. Get another goal. Somebody score. Get me out of last place. Have this not be an issue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, there have not been too many of these where we can start by asking or saying, what a game, and then the next person can say, which one?
Right.
There have really not been too many of those days.
Right.
You know, if the Rams-Chiefs game had been in, like, July, it might be better for me right now, just to get two shows out of it.
Right. Always trying to get as many shows out of it
as
I can. Gotta do it.
I spoke at a class today, and I revealed that. Really, what I want is what makes me happy. And sometimes, you know, losing is interesting to talk about. So, there. We're both suffering from colds. I went to a class at ECC, spoke to a class. That's what I'm calling it over and over, a class. Are we both medicated or just me?
I've got some antihistamine stuff going, so I might be off the rails unreasonable.
Great.
Yeah.
Five students.
That's a class?
There was a class. Five.
It sounds like an impromptu meeting.
I thought it was going to be 15. Like, if the full class was only 15.
Okay.
I thought I might say, you know, in my first, because they wanted to hear about, well, the teacher wanted me to tell them about my career. So I might say, you know, in the early days of my career,
yeah,
there might not have been as many people listening as there are in this room. Five, I couldn't even say that.
Yeah,
I felt like on my first day, there were always five.
Yeah,
at least five people.
Your parents, whatever. Yeah, I mean, you probably got the five. Probably got the five.
Probably.
I think not only do you have, these two sporting events last night. The football game was incredible. The Sabres game. I mean, I think the town is buzzing hard about the Sabres with how often they're winning, how they're winning. Not only I think people are really excited about them. Like, you've got a game last night. Like, I was just sitting here, we're getting ready to start the show, and I'm thinking, like, this game. I think there's like at least a few things that you could want to really talk about. Like, not exactly break down frame by frame like we did with Jack Eichel's, but maybe.
It crossed my mind last night on the overtime.
Sure.
I mean, the whole overtime, maybe.
Yeah.
Because Ristolainen, there's like three plays
yeah,
in there.
Right.
And the last one's really good, I think.
Right, yes. But he was a little bit of a high wire act there. But, like,
what's new?
Like, I don't know. It's we're a long ways talking about when you might have been only broadcasting to, you know, as many as 15 people. We're a long ways from, like, what was your favorite thing about last night's game? But, I mean, holy cow, you've got Dahlin making those moves. Like, it doesn't even result in a goal. But, like, maybe my favorite thing about last night, I'll probably change my mind three or four times, is after the night he's had. I mean, he's at, like, the point of action on the goals. I mean, he did not have a good night defensively. Four goals, he's right in the middle of all of it. And not that they were all his fault. Like, the shorthanded thing was more Jack with a lousy pass back to the point. But anyway, like, he's maybe a little shell-shocked, you think, 18 years old, third period. He's already been victimized for those four goals. He's dangling guys in the slot and shooting off the knob of the goalie's stick. What an incredible move that was. Two moves. Like, there's that. There's the work that Reinhart does on the Tage Thompson goal. There's the Tage Thompson goal, which was like, he's got a really good shot. He hasn't really been getting it off. We talked to Paul yesterday. Bang, there's that. But Reinhart was a monster for about 45 seconds leading up to that goal. So like, there's that. Mittelstadt's shot was ridiculous. You've got the game-winning play there with wrist the line and diving to get the puck up to Jack, and then Jack just rifling it through the goalie.
And all the saves.
And all the saves. I mean, are you not entertained?
Right.
I mean, that was a production last night. That was no, excuse me, we snuck away with points. Like, there were plays in that game, and that's what we've been coming for all these years. And, like, last night, you got it.
I'll pick Dahlin for starters here. There are two things on my mind about him. One is, to your point, and Paul was into this yesterday, talking to players about this in pregame, too. Like, you might see a young guy make a mistake and then get shell-shocked and lose confidence and lose his way. We talked about this kind of thing with Rob Ray once last week. I just think that is so rare now to happen. Like, these guys, I think it's a good idea to consistently or constantly remind yourself, who are these guys? Where did they come from? How long have they been, most of them, don't take this personally, how long have they been playing hockey? I mean, I just think anybody can lose confidence in whatever they're doing, but even at age 18, this guy has had an entire lifetime of positive reinforcement. He is not going to quit. I mean, he's not going to stop skating. And by the way, everybody around him will be reminding him not to.
Sure.
You know, yep. It's just so much more highly technical and all the wealth of sports poured into it. And that manifests in teams and in players at the pro level. And it also explains how these guys are so solid at such a young age coming into the league. Even commentators who played hockey at a high level sometimes sound like they can't relate to that. Because until a certain point in time, it's the proverbial football players would go to training camp to get in shape after working at the furniture store. You know, like some guys in broadcasting who played sports are from that world. And I don't think Rasmus Dahlin is from that world. I think he is going to do what made him Rasmus, you know, he's going to do the things that made him Rasmus Dahlin, and maybe forever. And so it certainly doesn't surprise me, and it really doesn't register to me when young guys, and that's Eichel through his career, and really all of them, I mean, they will keep going because really they just don't know another move. So, you know, this is not to say anything more than just like, yeah.
No, I like this point. I think it's mostly right. You know, the way that these guys have been developed and the way they've worked. I mean, you see it. It no one seems surprised that he keeps going. Maybe just us, Paul, me. Because you know that play. There's three or four other things he could do there rather than try to make guys miss in the middle of the ice and look bad if it goes wrong after the night he's had. And I still think there's that, even for a young player, like it's to his credit that he's wired that way. And it's reason to be really optimistic about his future, I think, that he is not going to shy away.
It's to their benefit and all of our benefit.
Yes, right, right. Like that's a great move if it's a scoreless game and you just got on the ice. To me, it's an even better play, given the game, the way it had unfolded for him individually and the team even. I mean, they're looking for a goal, so it's right that he would be pressing.
Another thing on him I want to say that maybe if you like to think about stuff, you'll like. So the first time I thought about Dahlin today was I'm on Twitter, my kids are on the bus, and I'm sitting down, and I see Jeremy has tweeted about kind of this point, I think, was about just how Dahlin had a rough night, but then, you know, something along these same lines. And I just, like, it did not occur to me last night that he was struggling. It just never even occurred to me last night that he was struggling. I only see his good plays. And so this morning, I took a minute to, like, analyze that. Like, why would I only see his good plays? It was like a foreign idea to me that he had maybe had a bad game. I just, it never even occurred to me last night that he might have been having a bad game. I watched about half of it, the second half of the game. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
well, by then most of the damage was done by then.
Okay, that's right. Good point. That's a good point. But I do think I've been like this the whole year on him, and I was probably like this on Eichel when people would point out little things that they didn't like about his play or something. And what it is with Dahlin and other guys sometimes is I know they're good, and I have a bias. The bias can go the other way, too. It's not just defensemen. I think this applies best to Sabres defensemen through the years, where you go to a game and you're sitting next to somebody who can't stand a certain Sabres defenseman. And there's almost always been one at any given time mm-hmm. in Sabres history. It was Andre Sequeira one night for me, sitting in section 118 at the arena, and Sequeira was on the Sabres, and it wasn't a good team. And he had, and some of the numbers were starting to come to light, and Sequeira was not a bad player at all. And there was a guy just within earshot who was really upset about Sequeira. He hated him. And I'm just like, this guy doesn't know anything. There's always one defenseman on this team that I think a lot of fans just don't get. It's almost never a Canadian. It's usually a European guy.
Yep.
So that does not apply to Dahlin here, but it's a point that certain fans, it doesn't have to be a defenseman, it doesn't have to be a European, it doesn't even have to be a Sabre. You have it in your mind that somebody is bad. And so what are you doing? Especially when you're with somebody and you're talking with them during the game, you're trying to find things to reinforce what you already know or you think you know and what they know that you think. Like, oh, see? Guy could make 50 good plays and then one bad pass. You'd be like, see?
I think I've learned over the years that this is referred to as confirmation bias.
Confirmation bias. So wouldn't that go both ways? Like for me, Dahlin, yep. I know he's good. And, you know, there's also like you're tied into it because you want it so badly for them to be good and for it to like just take off, for Dahlin to win the Norris Trophy and everything that comes with that someday. So I'm like, oh, I think I'm just doing the same thing, but it's positive.
Right,
like every time I might not notice mistakes from him or just accept them as a rookie or accept them as a hockey play that maybe the other team did something good. But when he does something, it's not even at the level of that drive through the Penguins defense, but anything like tape to tape passes, all the things he does, made a play late in the third period, just a little chip behind his net. Bogosian just couldn't handle it. Like I thought, I'm doing both things at once there. Dahlin, like sort of, it was like a bounce pass off the wall behind the net, maybe in the air.
You're crediting him for making a good pass, and you're mad at Bogosian at the same time because he can't handle it.
But I don't really know if it was a good pass.
Right, right.
I just know that the guy who threw it is good.
Right.
And the guy who couldn't catch it isn't that good.
Yep.
So I'm like, that must be what happened there.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of this really needs to be explained. It's just Dahlin, for me, it's all good. Literally. Like, everything that he does, it's either neutral. I guess that's not literally, but it's either neutral or I'm impressed.
Yeah. Well, he did. He had a rocky night, but it didn't, you know, he overcame it. And to me, like, that's one of the really encouraging, exciting stories about the game last night, is that he just kept playing. And that's, I don't think you become the first pick in the draft if you're not that. And, you know, it's another very, to me, obvious example of who he is and who he's going to become.
I'll tell you what my favorite thing was, because you listed a few things.
Yeah.
Mittelstadt was my favorite thing about the game.
Yeah.
The tying goal was my favorite thing about the game. You know, maybe I'm like a lot of fans. I watched the second half. I knew they were down 4-1. I didn't feel like any real urgency. I know mm-hmm. there's more this game here. I know they've won a bunch recently. So, you know, whatever. I'm used to watching them lose to Pittsburgh.
Right.
They're still a great trip. No matter what happens, I'm rationalizing.
Uh-huh.
And then 4-3, like, let me really watch this.
I got to get over there, right?
And for 3 or 4 minutes or more before that goal, it was great.
Uh-huh.
Like, they were just so impressive for those few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time before Mittelstadt tied the game, I really wanted it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at 4-1, okay, whatever. At 4-3, and then they're just pressing and coming really close. Eichel had a wraparound.
Yeah, I couldn't believe he didn't score on that. Like, the puck came off his stick at the end of it is what happened. They showed an ice level replay, mm-hmm. and then he just lost it.
Now I really want this. Now I'm invested.
Right.
And so when he scored, I mean, there was a reaction to that.
Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite moment.
Yeah, there was yelling. It's good to have yelling back. Like, my family's going to have to get, you know, I just mean like a, woo! Like that. Like, that's it. And, like, no, that has not been happening. in my house. It just doesn't happen. So, like, that's back. And, yeah, I mean, to watch the whole game and have it be 4-1, and, like, it's Pittsburgh. And so, yeah, I mean, what is the vast majority of Sabres fans, I'll excuse maybe the people who might even paint their face for games that they watch on TV, but most Sabres fans are just, okay, well, you know, it's been a good trip, and they're coming home Wednesday, and, you know, Pittsburgh was bound to correct themselves, and okay, you know, fine. But then it's 4-2, and then it's 4-3 before the second period's over, and yeah, then it's no longer, it's okay that they're losing this game, or if they lose this game, I can accept the result. Now it's, you just get greedy. Now I want, come on, you can do this. Just get another goal. Get another goal. Just give me a point even.
They had two power plays in that stretch, maybe one before, one after the tying goal, but they had a couple power plays in the third period, and I just really wanted it for them.
Yeah.
And the first one, at least for the first minute, was just dynamite. I mean, everything was on time. Started with a Skinner one-timer from the right point that the goalie swallowed up, and then they just continued to, you know, make passes and right there.
Yeah.
Just could not get the goal there. Good Gergensen's even in the last few seconds of right in the last few seconds of regulation, you know, trying to snipe one. That's what happens. This is Dahlin and Skinner, for starters, raising the whole thing up by what they're capable of. Then you have guys who were seemingly problems for this team, like him or like Larson, or, you know, other defensemen or two, that on a team like this is what we said. I mean, this is what happens in the sport. On a team like this, they're not liabilities. They blend in. They look fine.
They play a role, and they get good zone time. And, like, yeah, they might frustrate you. Because I think at one point my son was like, Larson, you should learn how to play hockey. Because, like, he can't make the play in front when he's got the opportunity. Like, whatever. They're good role-playing NHL guys. They can do what needs to be done if they're not miscast and there's not too much of a burden falling on them. And, like, yeah.
Can you have the puck in the offensive zone for most of your shifts? If you're those guys, that's a win.
Yeah.
If you can neutralize or better the play, you know, they're not there for goals.
Right. And they're doing a reasonably good job of that here. So, yeah, I mean, there's just so much. I got a lot of reaction to I tweeted how my son, I had a couple of different things last night that were fun for us watching, but, like, you know, the kid is a you know, he's a fanatic about hockey now. I mean, it's a huge part of his life. We've never had a hockey season like this. We just haven't had one. He is 7 years old in 2011. And, you know, if you've got kids that are that age now, maybe they're more into it than he was. Like, he played hockey. He tried to act the part as though he was really interested in it. But then, you know, a little while would go by and he'd go upstairs and play video games with his brother. Like, he just was not saddled up for the ride night in and night out. And so, you know, I'm watching this with him last night. He jumps. I mean, he did a pirouette in the living room when Eichel scored because he's yelling, shoot it, Jack, shoot it. And he shot it, and he just jumped up. And as he went up to bed, he said, it's really fun watching these games with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I tweeted about that. And I got so much feedback from people that are, like, say, you know, same thing. And, I mean, that's all I ever want. You know, like, just give me something. I'm going to invest my time in it. I love it. It means a lot to me, probably more than it should, because it's just a sports team. But I'm going to be there. Give me just some reward. And, like, it's been so long for so many of us. We've had kids literally grow up who love hockey that are driving now, who've never sat with you and enjoyed a good Sabre season. I mean, that's incredible, but that's what I'm dealing with. And, like, for me, it's just in time. Because I don't know. I mean, he could have gone to Sault Ste. Marie this. He'd be gone already. I don't know what next year is going to hold. Like, thank you for a good season, at least here.
So far.
So far. May it please continue, because this might be the last hockey season I get to hang out and watch games with him ever. You know, like, night to night anyway. So, man, it's really great. I'm just so happy that you get, you know, you can check so many boxes last night. Like I said at the beginning here, it's, you know, you won, you came back and won, you won in a place where you don't win a lot. You had won there since 2013. Mm-hmm. And you got, like, Eichel gets the winner, Dahlin's dangling, you got Reinhardt, you got Tage Thompson, who's, why is he in the lineup? Oh, that's why he's in the lineup.
Middlestat. I see.
Middlestat, the goalie, he just got so much out of that game.
Middlestat is so interesting to me. He is, I mean, he's not what Skinner is, which is like on a one-year thing, maybe. Like, there's some anxiety about Skinner mm-hmm. and the future. Middlestat is a first-round pick of theirs who's very young. You know, he's almost Eichel. He's not Eichel in terms of hype or expectations, but he's, you know, a certain modest level below that. But he's theirs, you know, and he is, in his first full season, he's getting there. You know, it started just okay. You see a couple of little moves, and you can see the talent, but it really doesn't amount to much. And it's really starting to mean something. And, I mean, you want to have that – good teams are going to have that depth. And for them to have Eichel, Dahlin, and then him – and I'm not trying to rank them or anything – by that, but because you have Reinhardt and other guys too, like that's nice. Middlestat is an extra level down. I mean, you mm-hmm. go that much deeper on your list for talent, for high end talent, and that he matters already is cool.
I think he, you know, he was playing as a freshman at the University of Minnesota at this time last year, but people have been talking. I think Joe even wrote about 05-06. Like, trying to draw the parallels, you know, because this is a team that we thought was going to be better, but we weren't expecting them to be, like, the fourth best team in the league or anything after 21 games. And 05-06 was, you know, very modest, even bad, low expectations, and eventually that team blasted off and captured all of our imaginations. And, like, it's a very different build to that team. I feel like Middlestat is a big swing guy for that. Like, if he starts producing just at a relatively, I don't want to say modest, it's going to be more than modest to bring this home. But if he starts turning into a guy that could be like a 50-point guy for them, like from here to the end, if he plays at that kind of pace, because he hasn't been nowhere near that these first 21 games, if he starts playing like that, then I'm ready to have that conversation with you. Because, like, that's Derrick Roy. That's, like, somebody showing up on your team like, oh, we got another guy that can do stuff that's really okay. Like, they need him to do that. If they're going to, I mean, what, really take off.
And he could.
Yeah.
He was Pronman's number one prospect in the league.
Yeah.
Last year.
I really think.
I mean, Brendan Gooley was 90th, and this guy was first.
Yeah.
Like, this is the real thing here in terms of that. I do want to make a distinction between him and Eichel, but, you know, you don't have to. It's whatever. It's just about sort of the expectations for the guys. He is a really, like, same. He is a really cool piece in what is happening. All right. Six in a row. 803-0550 is our number. Two football guests, Eric Wood. His charity event is coming up. We'll revisit. We'll visit with him. We used to visit with him. I went with revisit. We're not going to revisit him. He's not a magazine article, Mike. Mike Dempsey on the Jaguars today, too. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
He's pretty... For how Swedish he sounds and not acts and talks, I think he's pretty American. Like, he likes all the American food, likes doing all the stuff. The one thing he's always doing that probably annoys me and Paige is he's always FaceTiming his friends from home, and he has his phone full volume, and they only talk in Swedish. So, like, we have no idea. We just listen.
Middlestat, I'm getting good.
Yep.
You had that?
Yep. He's got a little, when he started there, there's like a hint of Eichel there, and then I'm like, that's not Eichel, that's Middlestat.
Hint of Eichel. Traces of Eichel.
So they're road roommates. I guess, right? Mittelstadt and Dahlin. And this is another level of stuff that I guess I would never know if you weren't really excited about the team. But I just saw some stuff on Twitter, like they, I guess they posted pictures of one another sleeping and were like taking shots at one another. Like, what is he dreaming about? Fortnite or scoring goals or something? Or Fortnite or girls?
Not only do I not care when the team is bad and that's happening, I'm offended by it when that is happening and the team is bad. I don't even... I just don't bother me with roommate nonsense when you're in the lottery, right?
Right.
But when they're good, now I feel like it falls under the category of things I need to know about for work.
Right.
tell me again about Mittelstadt on Instagram so I know in case it comes up, in case it comes across my desk. Here is Dave with us on WGR. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So here's what I noticed, really. In these last six games, a few of them we were down. We're working to come back and win these games. And I think a lot of it's not only just great work by the players, but the coaching, too. It looks like they're really diagnosing the weaknesses of the opponents and then attacking them and kind of exploiting the weaknesses. So I think it really is just I'm 26. I haven't seen the Sabres play like this in a really long time. So, I mean, it's really, really nice to see, finally.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
I don't know how far I can get on like, what they're how much do you really know anyway when you're watching from where we're watching? But I listened to Housley this morning on with – Howard and Jeremy here on WGR. You can check that out at WGR550.com and on-demand audio. It's brought to you by Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest. Get back to living.
Wow, you made it all the way through that. I wondered at the beginning if you were going to go all the way through
right,
that.
Right. Yep. Hey, you start,
Once you start. Then it's weird if you don't go all the way.
Right. So what was I talking about again?
Housley.
This is the antihistamine working. Yeah. And there's a couple things. Like, I think that, the fact that they're staying with, in these games and not, like, getting too scrambly when they're even struggling in their own end, I think is evidence of coaching and them being, like, paying attention to, what their responsibilities as individuals are and how that's supposed to work within the team. The other thing I thought that was really notable that Housley said today was that he feels like this team is in much better condition. That was a real point of emphasis for them coming in the summer, and that they don't get as tired as they used to get, whether that's at the end of a long shift when you're trapped.
I
or
bet that,
that's the third period.
I'm sorry, I couldn't wait. I guess I bet that means guys who are on this team versus guys who are no longer on this team. My thing on the coach so far is that, like, almost everything I hear him say. Well, I want to say after it, well, what happened last year then? Like, now they're in shape. They weren't in shape? Like, now they believe in themselves. They didn't believe in themselves? I mean, some of that is just human nature. Some of it is, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to criticize them, but I don't hear, like, this is tactically different than it used to be. This is just something that has happened that is different.
Part of what he went on to explain about their conditioning, he took the blame for last year by saying we got here and I think we spent a lot of time in the summer and even in practices trying to implement what we wanted to get across. We're trying to working on systems mm-hmm. instead of just being able to go out and practice fast. And this year, everyone who's here, that was here already, was familiar with what they wanted to do. And maybe, he's crediting the new guys, not so much criticizing the other guys that left, but that people integrated into it and they have been able to just work fast and that's helped their conditioning. Because there's not as much time blowing drills dead and going, no, look it. This guy pressures the right D behind the net. You got to go over here. You do this. And just moving the parts around the chessboard. It sounds to me like he's saying there was less of that in the summer, and there's even less of that at practice now because they've got a foothold on what they want to do and how they want to play.
I like it.
That makes sense.
He's a year older as a coach, and he can, or maybe has, learned that from his own experience. But for, you know, for 14 games to start last year, they had Matt Molson on their team. They had Jordan Nolan on their team. They had Georges on their team. They haven't eradicated all of the sort of the sluggish side of players, but they've done a job. And I don't know how you could slow some of these guys down. Like, there's youthful energy. There maybe is, in turn, there's speed. Maybe the conditioning is part and parcel with all that. He's got a different roster. Maybe the Blues guys. Are the Blues guys good examples of this or no?
They're
bigger.
They're bigger. They're experienced. I'd say, like, they're pro hockey players, but they're not, like, fleet-footed.
No.
They might have a better idea of how to play. Like, maybe they're just easier to coach because they've been around the leagues. You know, Sobotka's played all over the place, you know, KHL, NHL. Berglund's been around a long time. So maybe they fit into their roles more easily, but they're not guys that help your team speed really at all. Neither of them are quick players.
They also had Ryan O'Reilly on their team, of course. And O'Reilly, with the Blues now, the Blues fired their coach last night after a shutout home loss to the Kings. They're at the bottom of the standings. What is he thinking? O'Reilly, I don't want to use like the term like the ghost of O'Reilly or anything, because things are going well here, not the other way around. But what is he thinking right now? O'Reilly's being off this team is something I think in conversations about them right now comes up early.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Connor Sherry is another new guy for that other point, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Right.
I should have thought.
Right.
I just saw him up on the screen as the game replay is on.
And he's fast, yes. He helps their speed a lot.
I wonder what is going through that guy's mind. Like, am I bad at this or what? Like, there were questions about his dedication that I think everybody heard about. And, you know, still, he was provably good. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the ice, the role he played about the hardest role in the league for this team last year, defensive zone stuff and matchups, and he did it pretty well. But he goes...
And he's producing for them,
and they're bad.
Yep.
And the coach is fired, and he's been through a lot of that already.
What is it, 6 coaches in 10 years, maybe?
I don't know.
Somebody tweeted it at me earlier today. Like, there's a lot.
How many was it here? Maybe only 2.
Yeah, he got here with Bilesma and then Housley. That's it. So, but yeah,
seems like it should be more than 6, but maybe it isn't.
I mean, I might have the numbers wrong. I'll have to go back and look. But anyway,
still.
Yeah, I mean, that's a. What are they doing in St. Louis? Is Craig Berube taking over?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening. Okay, I saw something about Steve Ott earlier today. I was like, wow, where are you, Blues?
And Hitchcock is back in Edmonton, back in the league
right.
In Edmonton. Edmonton fired its coach. Babcock went to Toronto. Todd McClellan went to Edmonton. He had the lottery. We thought we were getting Babcock. He goes to Toronto. We get Bilesma. Still, all great names, all winning coaches. And Bilesma, that just went wrong. And now McClellan is out of there. They've been losing. Last year was bad. This year is bad. And they are going to bring in Ken Hitchcock in Edmonton. 2 coaches fired since last night. 4 for the season. Kings
right.
and Blackhawks, too.
Right.
4 teams all in the West.
So last year we went through the whole season without anyone getting fired.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like during in season. I think Lane Vigneault got fired on like the last, like right after the last Rangers game, they fired him.
That doesn't count?
I mean, it's not in season.
Because the other teams still had games left,
right,
but they didn't.
They're done. So, yeah.
I wouldn't count it.
Yeah.
I think the Rangers should respect that statistic and wait one more day. They could have waited one more day.
For everyone to be done.
Yeah, like this is it's probably pretty rare for there not to be a coaching change the whole year in the league.
It definitely feels rare to me, but I.
I wouldn't want to be the team that ruins that. I'd want to wait. We are going to fire you, but there's this cool thing in the league, a coach, that no coaches have been fired this year, so we kind of want somebody else to go first because it's. Historic. Frank is with us. Hello, Frank.
How are you guys?
Hi, Frank. Go ahead.
So So pretty much what I've noticed this year about the Sabres is that they're pretty much finding a way to win, and that hasn't been able to happen in a lot of years. You're getting secondary scoring, you got defensemen scoring, and pretty much with good teams that compete at high levels like this, that they're getting their secondary scoring, they're finding a way to win. So, like, when we go in the third period down a goal or two, I'm confident that we will come back. And as of right now, I think we're, like, the best third period team in the league right now. So I'll hang up and listen and see what you guys think.
Yeah, to me, all that is just a function of the quality of team that you are. They're bad in the first period and good in the third. Is one better than the other? Like, to me, one is not better than the other. But what they are is about an average team. They are winning one goal game after one goal game after one goal game. All these wins are one goal wins. And so that kind of thing does regress. But, hey, enjoy it. I mean, it's been so long. And they are decent. It's not like they're not great for me, but they are decent. So when you get your goals, I mean, as long as you get them, early's good too. If a team is good at getting ahead, they're not bad because they got ahead.
Right.
You know, this team has been getting behind, but coming back, as you said. Eric Wood is coming back to our show.
We're going to
not to the Bills, as far as I know, but to our show today.
He's in no shape to play. Which means he's in great shape.
That's right. That's right. That's a great way to put it.
Like, this one of the things I'm excited to talk to him about is, like, was that always? I assume this was something he planned to do and did it. A lot of Reuben Brown. I saw Reuben Brown at the Monday night game, and I've seen him since he played. He's been around for a while, but still, like, I see him walking towards me, and I go, "Oh my God, you just look like a dude." You know, you're big, but you're not, you know, he just looks like a guy. And Eric, same thing. Like, I had the same effect when he showed up. That was Monday Night Football, too.
One of these weeks, we should ask Kyle Williams if he's looking forward to looking like a guy again.
Right.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Eric Wood in about 17 minutes. This is WGR.
I was flying from Florida. My plane got delayed, and I hate airports and planes anyway. I'm not afraid of planes, but, you know, just the whole airport process is miserable. I was starving, and then they said, well, we have a meeting, and I hadn't eaten anything all day. You know, if I didn't get something to eat, I wasn't going to be any fun to anybody. So I figured that it was in my best interest and the other people that I'd be around and associate with that I got something to eat. It wasn't entirely unlike Jeff Spicoli in Fast Times on Ridgemont High when he walked in with the pizza. You know, Mr. Hand says, what do you think you're doing on my time? Well, everybody was there, so I felt like it was our time. So we might as well enjoy some In-N-Out burgers as long as we're all there and getting the edification of the meeting.
What is he talking about? Mike Leach. Where was that going?
He was 90 minutes late for a Pac-12 coaches meeting, apparently.
Because he hadn't eaten. And there, that okay. Okay. Joe Bulldog and I are never late.
Spicoli, no.
We are never late.
Spicoli didn't bring pizza into the class. He had a pizza delivered to the class is what happened. Like, a guy knocked on the door and, like, came and interrupted Mr. Hand's class, and the guy brought the pizza over to Spicoli's desk, and then Mr. Hand gave this big speech about how this is my time and you're doing this on my time. And it was a whole thing, yeah. But he didn't bring pizza. He got pizza delivered to the classroom.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't get that reference at all. Not even close.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Does that hold up? Phoebe Cates holds up.
I'd need...
Why did I have to rush to that to say that?
I'd need to...
That holds up forever.
Have watched it...
That will never not hold
ever
up.
Ever again. I don't... It's not a movie that... I ever think, like, oh, I want to revisit that.
So I think I saw it one time maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
But, you know, a scene or more than one scene in the movie is iconic. And the
yes.
Phoebe Cates in the pool is iconic.
Phoebe Cates in the pool is iconic.
Is that the right word?
Yes. Them.
The risk
them
of me sounding
up,
perverted
them
here.
Pulling up in the parking lot and the van doors opening and the smoke billowing out is also a pretty...
Is it?
That's a pretty famous scene.
Maybe Joe would like it. Is it too old?
I think it's probably fine. I mean, it's a stoner high school movie. Like, I don't think that has to age poorly.
Is it the American Pie of its day?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
You know that one?
Yeah, I know that. I do know that one.
Okay.
There's not a ton of those older movies I like, though.
Uh-huh.
Like Animal House, for sure, and that might be the extent of it.
You do like Animal House.
Love it. That's iconic.
Yeah. It's 40 years old.
Wow.
Or more. Probably
yeah,
more.
It's got to be more than that, I think, even. Yeah.
Tim Matheson.
78.
It's 40 years old.
All right.
How about that? Very interesting.
Bet you got the date right?
No. I don't know. I'm just sitting here drinking pineapple juice all day, so you know.
All right.
My regimen here is pineapple juice, Ricola, what, drops?
Lozenges, yeah.
Lozenges, and I bought the wrong medicine.
Oh.
I try to think to not buy medicine with acetaminophen in it, Tylenol.
Right.
And I did, by accident. So you were out of the room mostly, but Joe was here while I coughed for like 30 minutes. There's like a scratch in my throat from acetaminophen. I try to avoid that.
Yeah.
It looks like I got rid of it in time.
Okay, good.
But pineapple juice, Ricola, and that. I won't take another one, though.
Another acetaminophen?
No, I'll just cough for half an hour.
Right.
Insult to injury.
Yeah.
Well, injury to injury.
Stop and get something different on the way home.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Tomorrow will be at 716. The Sabres host the Flyers, going for a seventh win in a row. Kind of cool. Their last streak that long was at the beginning of 06-07. The peak of that streak was the Flyers win, the 10-1 win over Philadelphia.
They fired everybody.
And they fired Ken Hitchcock, who was hired today by Edmonton. He's back in the league today. Pulling it all together here, Circle of Life. 7:30 tomorrow night, 4 o'clock Friday for Montreal.
May we get far enough in. Somebody already brought this up to me on Twitter. I worked, they were 10-0.
Yeah.
I worked an Atlanta game, it was a home game. I filled in for Brian on intermissions and post game, and they lost that game, I think, in a shootout.
Yes. Saturday night.
Right.
That was the end of the streak.
Like someone was already like, don't you get anywhere near that post game show? Like, I hope Brian. Somebody thought to tweet at me about that because they remembered that I worked the game that ended the 10-0 start.
The last time they had a longer winning streak, a team named Atlanta ended it. So you know it's been a little while,
right?
Even if you didn't remember that Bulldog worked that day, you will remember. You will know that Atlanta is not a team in the league.
Yeah, good point.
Eric Wood. After this on WGR.